Since about 1840, the organizational structure of the American Freemasons was under the severe supervision of the Scottish Rite. The latter bestows initiation degrees up to the 33rd degree. It is divided into a southern jurisdiction in Arkansas and a northern jurisdiction in Boston. As an instrument of strategy for the crown, explained in the next chapter, the Scottish Rite conducted in the middle of the last century an incessant offensive of murder and racist terror against the U.S. and the neighboring states. The most important incidences were the American occupation of Mexico during the Mexican War, 1846-1848, the rebellion of the slaveholders, that is the Civil War, 1861-1865, and the crusade of the Ku Klux Klan against the rebuilding of the Southern states, 1867-1870. The Knights of the Golden Circle founded by George Bickley appeared here for the first time, in Cincinnati, under the leadership of Kilianen van Rensselaers. The Golden Circle was to establish a new empire of slavery with Cuba as its center. It was their objective to kill the hated Catholic Hispanics in order to replace them with black slaves fresh from Africa. This was the first North American free trade treaty. The seal of the Knights of the Golden Circle was identical to that of the Knights of Malta, the Maltese Cross. The Knights of the Golden Circle eventually disappeared. In 1867, Albert Pike founded in Nashville the Order of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, Greek Eklos equals Circle. He was the Great Dragon and thus their leader. So here they were again, the Knights of the Golden Circle. The KKK also uses the Maltese Cross as its emblem and it is led by prominent Freemasons. If one looks at the racist and inhuman goals of the KKK and from these deducts the inner being of its founder and its members, then one has to question whether one writes about members of the human species at all. The KKK uses force to keep their voting rights from black citizens, to disallowing them to own arms, to discriminate against schools teaching black children and to lower the standard of living of blacks to a level that equals that of slavery. The interesting thing is that nowadays the KKK is almost totally financed by the Mossad, the Israeli Secret Service. In the Jewish community, the Independent Order B'nai B'rit was established in 1843. The B'nai B'rit, a Zionist secret lodge, is counted among the Masonic lodges. The term B'nai B'rit means Sons of the Alliance. It claims the leadership of world Judaism. Although most lodges of this order were in the north of the U.S., the B'nai B'rit openly took the side of the Confederates. Many speakers of the order in the north vociferously, 77, defended slavery and were still working for the goals of the Confederates after the Civil War. Remarks to today's situation, the Anti-Defamation League, ADL, which is linked to the B'nai B'rit recently started a campaign to defame leading American black politicians as anti-Semites. Thus they aimed at fanning racial conflict and to negatively influence the positive attitude of Jewish Americans who up to then had helped the blacks. The ADL also openly opposed the KKK, yet it clamored in favor of the statue of Albert Pike, the KKK founder, which is still standing in Washington, D.C., and it is openly linked to the Scottish Rite. We worship a god, but it is the god one adores without superstition. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the Christian God, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately Adonai is also God. For the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness, no white without black, for the absolute can only exist as to gods. The doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophic religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai, but Lucifer, God of light and God of God, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. This quote can be looked up in the main Pike folder at the Library of the Scottish Rite in Washington, D.C. in French and in English. Pike professed to be a Satanist and an agent of the crown. The city Pike bestowed in 1867 the Four War. Remarks to today's situation. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, which is linked to the BNIB RIT, recently started a campaign to defame leading American black politicians as anti-Semites. Thus they aimed at fanning racial conflict and to negatively influence the positive attitude of Jewish Americans who up to then had helped the blacks. The ADL also openly opposed the KKK, yet it clamored in favor of the statue of Albert Pike, the KKK founder, which is still standing in Washington, D.C., and it is openly linked to the Scottish Rite. We worship a god, but it is the god one adores without superstition. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the higher degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the Christian God, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately Adonai is also God. For the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness, no white without black, for the absolute can only exist as to gods. The doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophic religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of God, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. This quote can be looked up in the main Pike folder at the Library of the Scottish Rite in Washington, D.C. in French and in English. Pike professed to be a Satanist and an agent of the crown. The city Pike bestowed in 1867 the 4th to the 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite upon U.S. President Andrew Johnson. 39 days after the investiture of President Theodore Roosevelt, who was himself an Anglophile racist and Freemason, the statue of Albert Pike was erected in Washington, D.C., where it stands until today. More remarks on today's situation. We see that in a hierarchic order, none but the leader is allowed free will. To attain a higher degree, an aspirant has to fulfill conditions set by the next higher degree. An example: I show the aspirant a white book, yet I tell him that it is black. Now I ask him of what color the book is. If he answers white, he was failed, though if he says black, he is accepted to the next higher degree and thus to many more new tasks he has to fulfill, like this one. Do you realize that all hierarchies of this world are set up like this? All school systems, almost all religions including Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientology, are similarly structured. Personal opinions, free development and independent thinking is not allowed, only the following of orders received from those in higher positions. And it does not matter whether it concerns the satanic doctrine, as in the quote by Pike, mentioned earlier, or the dogmas of the Catholic or Islamic, etc., churches. Those contemporaries who knowingly give up their free will and their proper responsibility and submit these to another person, organization or to a leader are not worthy of better treatment, since today, especially in the so-called civilized countries, nobody is forced to join an organization or religion. Or, as Anatole France wrote, and if 5 million people say something stupid, it is nevertheless stupid. About President Bill Clinton, former governor of Arkansas, in a Ku Klux Klan special, the German magazine New Solidaritat informs us that Parson W. O. Vaught was a Freemason in the 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite, but is master at the Royal Secret. He was the spiritual teacher and actual foster father of Bill Clinton and 78, collaborated with him. When he was governor of Arkansas, a state in which the spiritual tradition of Albert Pike is strongly rooted, Clinton supported capital punishment and allowed civil executions to go ahead. In reality, this means executing poor and blacks. Recently, Vaught's son said that Clinton and his parson agreed that their religious beliefs allowed the killing of prisoners and of unborn babies, especially black babies. Clinton is also member of the Council on Foreign Relations, of the Trilateral Commission, of the Bilderbergers, more about their importance later, and member for life in the Masonic Order of de Molay for Boys. Jacques de Molay was Grand Master of the Knights Templar and was burnt at the stake on March 18, 1314 in Paris. According to the order's literature, the Order of de Molay is led by eminent Masons and membership consists of sons of Master Masons aged between 14 and 21 who are taught the seven virtues: filial love, reverence, courtesy, comradeship, cleanness of thought, word and deed, fidelity and patriotism. How much this corresponds to reality is a moot point. Tradition of Albert Pike is strongly rooted. Clinton supported capital punishment and allowed civil executions to go ahead. In reality, this means executing poor and blacks. Recently, Vought's son said that Clinton and his parson agreed that their religious beliefs allowed the killing of prisoners and of unborn babies, especially black babies. Clinton is also member of the Council on Foreign Relations, of the Trilateral Commission, of the Bilderbergers, more about their importance later, and member for life in the Masonic Order of de Molay for Boys. Jacques de Molay was Grand Master of the Knights Templar and was burnt at the stake on March 18, 1314 in Paris. According to the order's literature, the Order of de Molay is led by eminent Masons and membership consists of sons of Master Masons aged between 14 and 21 who are taught the seven virtues: filial love, reverence, courtesy, comradeship, cleanness of thought, word and deed, fidelity and patriotism. How much this corresponds to reality is a moot point. Chapter 16: The Black Nobility. Before going any further into the big picture, we have to take a little detour again to make things a bit clearer. For the following information, I have to thank XMI6 agent Dr. John Coleman for his tremendous research. He is the only one who ever wrote anything in English on the black nobility, and on the American continent he is a pioneer in this research. I met Dr. Coleman personally and tell you that he is sincere in his intention. I have my own personal faculty to read or check people. But he sure is holding back information, as I do, too, because we don't want to lose our heads. Dr. Coleman tells us about a term you won't find in any ordinary book or dictionary: the black nobility. These are the oligarchic families of Venice and Genoa who in the 12th century held the privileged trading rights, monopolies. Dr. Coleman, the first of three crusades, from 1063 to 1123, established the power of the Venetian black nobility and solidified the power of the wealthy ruling class. The black nobility aristocracy achieved complete control over Venice in 1171, when the appointment of the Doge was transferred to what was known as the Great Council, which consisted of members of the commercial aristocracy, a complete triumph for them. Venice has remained in their hands ever since, but the power and influence of the Venetian black nobility extends far beyond its borders, and today, in 1986, is felt in every corner of the globe. In 1204, the oligarchic family parcelled out feudal enclaves to their members, and from this epoch dates the great building up of power and pressure until the government became a closed corporation of the leading black nobility families. The black nobility earned its title through dirty tricks, so when the population revolted against the monopolies in government, as anywhere else, the leaders of the uprising were quickly seized and brutally hanged. They used secret assassinations, murder, the bankrupting of opposing citizens or companies, kidnapping and rape. So, who are these families? The most important ones are: House of Guelph, Britain House of Wettin, Belgium House of Bernadotte, Sweden House of Liechtenstein, Liechtenstein, 79, House of Oldenburg, Denmark House of Hohenzollern, Germany House of Hanover, Germany House of Bourbon, France House of Orange, Netherlands House of Grimaldi, Monaco House of Wittelsbach, Germany House of Braganza, Portugal House of Nassau, Luxembourg House of Habsburg, Austria House of Savoy, Italy House of Karađorđević, Yugoslavia House of Württemberg, Germany House of Zagreb, Albania, as well as the ones you will find on the family tree of the Windses. Black Nobility Unmasked Worldwide, Dr. John Coleman, 1985. All the families listed are connected with the House of Guelph, one of the original black nobility families of Venice from which the House of Windsor and thus the present Queen of England, Elizabeth II, descends. The Guelphs are so intertwined with the German aristocracy through the House of Hanover that it would take several pages to mention all their connections. As you can see in this family tree, almost all European royal houses originate from the House of Hanover and thus from the House of Guelph, the black nobility. The Hanoverian English King George I came from the Duchy of Lunenburg, a part of northern Germany, which had been governed by the Guelph family since the 12th century. Today the Guelphs rule by dominating the raw materials market, and for years they have fixed the price of gold, a commodity they do neither produce nor own. The House of Windsor also controls the price of copper, zinc, lead and tin. And as you will see, it is no accident that the principal commodity exchanges are located in London. Companies run by black nobility families are British Petroleum, Oppenheimer, Lono, Philpro and others. Another black nobility family are the Grosvenors in England. For centuries this family lived, as most of the European royal families, on ground rent. Today the family owns at least 300 acres of land in the centre of London. The land is never sold, but leased on a 39-year leasehold agreement, the ground rent of the Middle Ages. Grosvenor Square, in which the American Embassy is located, belongs to the Grosvenor family, as does Eaton Square. In Eaton Square apartments are rented out at £25,000 a month, and that does not include maintenance costs. This will give you some idea of the immense wealth the black nobility families garner from ground rents, and why families like the Windsors are not at all interested in industrial progress along with the excess population it supports. This is the only reason why these noble families are behind most, if not all, of the wrong-headed pro-environmental movements of the world that ultimately and covertly aim to curb population growth. Prince Philip and Prince Charles are the most visible symbols of these movements and both have often spoken with the utmost callousness about the need to rid the world of unwanted people. Black Nobility Unmasked Worldwide, Dr. John Coleman. So why do L mention the black nobility? Because they are the founders of the secret society of our day from which all the others are connected to the Illuminati originated from, the Committee of 300. As I will show you, the Club of Rome, the CFR, the RIA, the Bilderbergers, the UN, the Round Table all originate from the Committee of 300 and therefore from the European black nobility families. Well, here comes the most important point. Dr. Coleman has been perfectly right up to here. He thinks that the European black nobility is the cause of all that is wrong. 80. But, since at least the 17th century, absolutely every European royal house has been infiltrated by Jews. The House of Hanover seems to be German, but it is Jewish. So is the House of Habsburg. So it wasn't really the Germans who took over the British throne. Brilliant, isn't it? Sources, Semigotha by Philipp Storff and Judenblatt im Deutschen Adel, Jewish Blood in German Nobility, by Otto Fürst von Bertaler. Cooperating with the European black nobility are American families like the Harrimans and the McGeorge Bunds. Chapter 17: The English Royal Family and the Opium Trade in the 18th century. Before dealing with England at all, we have to clarify a few terms. The Queen is the head of the royal family, with the British colonial empire, with London as its capital, governed by the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. But just like the Vatican being within Rome, there is a separate, independent state within London, the City. The City, which is called the richest square mile in the world, occupies just about that area in the heart of London, 2.7 square km. It is said to have about 4,600 inhabitants and about a million jobs. The government of the City is the Crown, comprised of 13 members and led by the King of the City, the Lord Mayor. Here one finds the richest and mightiest economic institutions of England, like the Bank of England controlled by the Rothschilds, Lloyd's of London, the London Stock Exchange, the offices of many international merchant companies and Fleet Street, the centre of newspapers and publishing. The city does not belong to England. It is subject of neither the monarch nor the government of British Parliament. The city is the true government of England, as both the Queen and the Prime Minister are subordinate to the Lord Mayor and listen to him. By the facade of a Prime Minister and a Cabinet the impression is given that these decide what happens, yet that are just puppets of the city. If the Queen visits the city, she is met by the Lord Mayor at Temple Bar, the symbolic gate to the city. She bows and asks permission to enter his private and sovereign state. He shows his approval by handing her the state sword. At state visits like this the Lord Mayor his robe and chain eclipses the Queen, and her entourage are restricted to ordinary street clothes. Then he proceeds to lead the Queen, who goes two steps behind him, into the city. As I mentioned earlier, the founding of the Bank of England was instigated by William Paterson, who was a city agent. According to Des Griffin, the city is controlled by the Rothschild Empire. Thus, in order to avoid misinterpretations, we have to realize that in Great Britain there are two separately acting empires, the colonial empire under the royal family and the empire of the crown. All colonies with a white population, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and South Africa, were under the authority of the English government. All other colonies, India, Egypt, Bermuda, Malta, Singapore, Hong Kong, Gibraltar and the Central African colonies were the private property of the Crown, so-called Crown colonies. Of course there was cooperation, because the Windsor family is part of and the city belongs to the black nobility. During the building of the empire the British East India Company, BEIC, made an immense fortune with the opium trade. The BEIC established the China Inland Mission, whose main task was to get Chinese cheap laborers dependent on opium to create a market for their wares. Members of the British royal family were so impressed by the immense profits that they collaborated with the BEIC. They began by taxing the opium producers in India. Huge amounts of opium were shipped from India on the China tea clippers, and around 13% of, 81, India's income under the crown came from selling pure Bengal opium in China, supervised by them. Surely the court did not want this shady episode exposed. Therefore they involved the British Secret Services, the British Military Intelligence Department, MI6, and the Secret Intelligence Service, SIS. The MI6 goes back to Queen Elizabeth I, under whom Sir Francis Walsingham became treasurer for the Dirty Tricks Department of the MI6. Due to its several centuries of experience, the MI6 is counted among the best secret services of the world. The BEIC was market leader in the opium trade until Chinese government prohibited the smoking of opium in 1729. From 1791 to 1894 the number of licensed opium plantations grew under the crown from 87 to 663. This finally led to the Opium War in China. In 1729 the BEIC, as an arm of the black nobility, founded the Committee of 300 to simplify the handling of banking and commercial transactions. Today the Committee of 300 is one of the most important secret organizations and is also working towards a one-world government. It is the so-called elite from the city. Later this Committee of 300 developed tactics to overcome the Chinese anti-drug laws. Lord Inchcape established the P&O Shipping Company and was the actual founder of the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank that helped in covering up the opium trade. Other British banks involved in the drug trade are the British Bank of the Middle East, the Midland Bank, the National Westminster Bank, Barclays Bank, the Royal Bank of Canada and Baring Brothers Bank. All these banks are linked to the Rothschild banks by the Committee of 300. When the Harriman Railroad was being constructed to link California with the east of the U.S., thousands of Chinese cheap laborers were transshipped to work on the tracks. Many were already dependent on opium, and thus the market was extended to the U.S. Harriman founded his railroad empire with financing from the N.M. Rothschild & Sons Bank in London. There are good reasons to deduce that the Chinese opium-dependent laborers were intentionally used to extend the opium market to the U.S. Remarks on today's situation. The New Solidaritat wrote in an article titled "The Queen and Narcotics" in its edition of September 8, 1993, "It is rare, indeed, a pleasant surprise, to read in the British press news about the court that comes close to the truth." Last week such an item vied with the headlines on the front page of the London Times of August 27, 1993. The headline, "The Royal Family Was High in the Highlands." The article, based on a carefully researched report in the Scottish magazine Leopard, discloses that drugs and narcotics were used as a matter of course. From original documents, the Leopard proved the Queen Victoria and her entourage, often the Churchill and Rothschild families, had standing orders for sizable quantities of cocaine, heroin and other narcotics with a Highland pharmacy. The Times averred the same. It said, "Queen Victoria, the monarch with the severe mien, well known for her we are not amused, seems to have ordered enough cocaine and heroin for her Balmoral estate in Scotland to keep a whole Highland valley high." The papers of the pharmacy show that the royals and their guests were regularly supplied with considerable amounts of cocaine and heroin solutions, supervised by them. Surely the court did not want this shady episode exposed. Therefore they involved the British Secret Services, the British Military Intelligence Department, MI6, and the Secret Intelligence Service, SIS. The MI6 goes back to Queen Elizabeth I, under whom Sir Francis Walsingham became treasurer for the Dirty Tricks Department of the MI6. Due to its several centuries of experience, the MI6 is counted among the best secret services of the world. The BIC was market leader in the opium trade until Chinese government prohibited the smoking of opium in 1729. From 1791 to 1894 the number of licensed opium plantations grew under the crown from 87 to 663. This finally led to the Opium War in China. In 1729 the BIC, as an arm of the black nobility, founded the Committee of 300 to simplify the handling of banking and commercial transactions. Today the Committee of 300 is one of the most important secret organizations and is also working towards a one-world government. It is the so-called elite from the city. Later this Committee of 300 developed tactics to overcome the Chinese anti-drug laws. Lord Inchcape established the P&O Shipping Company and was the actual founder of the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank that helped in covering up the opium trade. Other British banks involved in the drug trade are the British Bank of the Middle East, the Midland Bank, the National Westminster Bank, Barclays Bank, the Royal Bank of Canada and Baring Brothers Bank. All these banks are linked to the Rothschild banks by the Committee of 300. When the Harriman Railroad was being constructed to link California with the east of the U.S., thousands of Chinese cheap laborers were transshipped to work on the tracks. Many were already dependent on opium, and thus the market was extended to the U.S. Harriman founded his railroad empire with financing from the N.M. Rothschild & Sons Bank in London. There are good reasons to deduce that the Chinese opium-dependent laborers were intentionally used to extend the opium market to the U.S. Remarks on today's situation. The New Solidaritat wrote in an article titled "The Queen and Narcotics" in its edition of September 8, 1993, "It is rare, indeed, a pleasant surprise, to read in the British press news about the court that comes close to the truth." Last week such an item vied with the headlines on the front page of the London Times of August 27, 1993. The headline, "The Royal Family Was High in the Highlands." The article, based on a carefully researched report in the Scottish magazine Leopard, discloses that drugs and narcotics were used as a matter of course. From original documents the Leopard proved the Queen Victoria and her entourage, often the Churchill and Rothschild families, had standing orders for sizable quantities of cocaine, heroin and other narcotics with a Highland pharmacy. The Times averred the same. It said, "Queen Victoria, the monarch with the severe mien, well known for her We Are Not Amused, seems to have ordered enough cocaine and heroin for her Balmoral estate in Scotland to keep a whole Highland Valley high." The papers of the pharmacy show that the royals and their guests were regularly supplied with considerable amounts of cocaine and heroin solutions.